As we prepare to receive God's word, let us join our hearts in prayer. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture lesson is from Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck, and he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Nadia Boltz-Weber is a Lutheran pastor and author, and she has written and spoken quite a bit about being part of a 12-step recovery program. Part of her program, her road to recovery, involved taking a moral inventory of herself and reading it out loud to someone, essentially a confession. So she writes, "In 1992, at the time of my first moral inventory, I was so filled with shame about the things I had done, so filled with self-hatred, that the person I chose to hear me read it aloud was Anna, a woman who was literally dying of AIDS. The only reason I trusted her to hear all of my baggage was that I was certain she would not be alive 8 or 9 weeks later. We sat in her tiny New York apartment while I fidgeted with the papers on which I had handwritten all my sins. "Nadia," she said when I'd finally read the last page, "we've all been there, and that's in the past. Stop carrying it with you into the present." She adjusted her oxygen tube for a minute before continuing, "It's over, girl, and you're gonna be okay. Stop carrying it with you into the present." That's good advice, but easier said than done, right? We talk a lot about how challenging it can be to forgive someone, and that is so true. But it can also be pretty hard to receive forgiveness, to truly let go of our past mistakes and our sins, which requires first acknowledging them, to believe that God's grace is sufficient, and to be able to change our ways, not out of a sense of guilt, but out of hope and gratitude and new life. When Joseph forgives his brothers in this dramatic, emotional way in Genesis, the 11 brothers actually struggle to even believe it. This family has had a tumultuous history with one another. The 11 brothers were always jealous of Joseph because of Joseph's ability to interpret dreams and because of the affection that their father had for him. So when Joseph is 17 years old, the older 10 brothers start to conspire against him. At first, they wanted to kill him. Then maybe just throw him in a pit and let nature have its way. And then Judah had an even better idea. They could get rid of Joseph and pocket some cash. So the brothers sell Joseph to some traveling Ishmaelites, and Joseph winds up as a slave in Egypt. From that point on, Joseph's life turns into a huge roller coaster, because first he's a slave, but then he rises to prominence among Pharaoh's staff as an overseer of Potiphar's household. Just as things are starting to look okay for Joseph, he is framed by that same officer's wife and thrown into jail. He's in prison for 2 years. But then while he's in prison, he gains a reputation for his ability to interpret dreams. Joseph accurately predicts seasons of plenty and famine across the land. So Pharaoh winds up releasing and then promoting Joseph into leadership. Joseph winds up as the king's right-hand man. He manages the whole process for storing up food during years of plenty, so that when famine comes, Egypt will be ready. That's how Joseph's brothers wind up in Egypt. The famine is affecting every country. People are coming from all the world to buy food. The brothers come from Canaan having no idea they'd ever run into Joseph. They're just looking for grain. They don't recognize Joseph. He chooses not to speak their language, so they have no idea that it's him at all. There's this kind of lengthy back and forth with the brothers between Canaan and Egypt, and it all eventually culminates in the story we read today, where Joseph reveals his identity to his brothers and asks if their father is still alive after all this time. He is weeping so loudly that Pharaoh's house can hear it. And his brothers are stunned silent. Joseph tells them, "Do not be distressed or angry with yourself." He says that even the horrible things they did, God used for good. God brought Joseph out of slavery, out of prison. God guided and used Joseph so that life might be spared in a time of global disaster. Joseph even invites his brothers to bring their father and all of their extended family and to come live in Egypt so that Joseph can take care of them. Leave the past in the past. It's over. And we're going to be okay. So the brothers do what Joseph asks, but they always hold on to this little fear that maybe his forgiveness isn't real. Years later, when their father Jacob dies, the brothers say to each other, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us?" They wonder if maybe Joseph was just putting up a front this whole time for the sake of their elderly father, whom he loved. Maybe he hadn't really forgiven them. Maybe he's still mad because the brothers obviously still feel guilty. Joseph's grace seems too good to be true. But grace was the only way that this family would have ever made it through. When Joseph's brothers arrived in Egypt, they were all in the middle of a prolonged international crisis. It's the second year of what will be a 7-year famine. So for 7 years, Joseph's family, along with all of Egypt and Canaan and the surrounding countries, will be living without enough rain, without enough produce, without enough food to sustain life on earth. For 7 years, their way of life is going to be very different. They will not be able to provide for themselves. They will have to rely on each other and to trust each other, to share what they have, and to look out for the common good above self-interest. So it's only going to work if they can overcome their pride and their greed. It's only going to work if they can leave behind their old grudges. It's only going to work with a sense of humility. If anybody takes more than they need, if anyone puts him or herself above the rest, if anyone values personal freedom more than common welfare, if anyone assumes that his or her actions do not affect others, it's all going to fall apart. They won't last the 7 years. They won't see the other side of this crisis. The only way for them to make it is by giving and receiving grace. I sure hope that we are not at the beginning of a 7-year crisis. But 7 months feels pretty long already. Like Joseph's family, We are experiencing a crisis that is global and lengthy and that changes every aspect of life. And we can either turn against each other, we can grab for more, we can bring up old insults, we can dig in our heels and insist that we are always right. We can tear each other down, point out every last flaw. Or we can embrace. We can cry together, care for each other, forgive, and love. Joseph's family now knows from experience that God can take the grimmest of all situations and bring something good from it. They know that God can take someone who is tossed into a pit, enslaved, imprisoned, cut off from his family, presumed dead by his father, and raise that person up to honor. They know that God can take brothers who at one point couldn't stand the sight of each other and lead them to embrace. So they know that surely God can take a famine or a pandemic or even a United States election cycle and bring new life on the other side. In the meantime, freely receive and freely give God's grace. It is the only way that we will make it through. And God's grace never runs out. There is always plenty and more. Thanks be to God. Amen.